Let's get going into the world of the Minnesota Vikings. The Athletics reporter, Arif Hassan. And Arif, last year the Vikings were just above, 508 wins, 7 losses and a tie. What is the biggest thing this year you've seen in changes that we could see a major up or down tick in that record from last season in the NFC North?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, fundamentally it's a talented team, so they should generally just be better than 500. And so I think the changes are to kind of fix some of the problems from last year rather than just try to only focus on some of the strengths. So I think that the change in the offensive line has produced probably better pass protection. We've had kind of a limited amount of preseason showing, but in training camp, that's what it looked like to me. And then the offense is more explosive. They're pushing the ball down the field. And I think those two changes offensively are probably going to help the Vikings. And defensively, there's not much more else they need to do.
Arif, last season heading into it, I mean, the Vikings were considered a Super Bowl favorite. What, in your opinion, was the biggest thing that went wrong for the team?
Well, I think the first 4 games kind of derailed them a little bit. They fixed some of the issues from those games kind of going forward. But I think, again, on the offense, you know, the pass protection problem was a pretty big one. And there's just a situational awareness problem with the entire offense and with the quarterback in particular. So couldn't win in like 2-minute situations and so forth. So I think that's kind of why, you know, they lost a lot of close games and couldn't get a better record.
We are discussing the Minnesota Vikings with Arif Hassan, who covers the team with The Athletic here on the Jason Gregor Show. You mentioned the quarterback play. Kirk Cousins heading into year 2 of a fully guaranteed 3-year contract worth $84 million. Really looking back last year at the success that he had, it was a pretty strong season, 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. But does he have to do more for this team to get those wins?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you take a look at those statistics and they kind of look good on paper, but one thing you have to take into account, that this was maybe one of the most pass-happy offenses in the league. Only the Steelers, I think, you know, passed more often. And so he was going to accumulate a lot of those statistics, but, you know, per attempt, you know, he didn't get that many yards. So he wasn't pushing the ball down the field very much, even though he's got these great receivers. You know, he didn't do a very good job of managing the clock. And so in those situations where you've got kind of that final drive ready to go, you don't have the ability to push it. I mean, he had a great completion percentage, but I think a lot of that just has to do with taking a lot of these easier throws that don't give you as strong of a reward as, you know, in offense, what you're looking for.
You talk about the lot of the passing attempts there with the offense. Of course, the injuries in the running game haven't been great. Dalvin Cook, who was drafted a few years ago, looks great when we see him, but unfortunately just hasn't been enough. How's he looked in the training camp so far, and is there any steps he's taken to try to just stay healthier?
I think that you're right that this is a concern. I think he's played 15 games in a 2-year career, so not even one full season between the two of them. And I think they've managed, I think, his workload a little bit in training camp, just, you know, give him a lot less work in team drills and stuff like that. But other than that, I don't think there's that much difference. He's not spending any time on a rehab field or anything like that. I don't think they've changed his diet. I just think that they're kind of confident that if they manage his workload maybe a little bit appropriately, and part of it has to do with, you know, grabbing a third round pick at running back, that they don't have to worry as much about, you know, fatigue being an issue when it comes to his injury problems. And I'll say that in camp, I think he looks like the back that he's always been. So, what you've seen on field, I think all indications are you'll continue to see if he remains healthy.
We are discussing the Minnesota Vikings here on the Jason Gregor Show with Arif Hassan of The Athletic. The team spent a second-round pick on Irv Smith Jr. at the tight end position. It's pretty well documented, of course, the receivers that the Vikings have. But how has he looked, and how will he complement Kyle Rudolph?
I think that it's going to be a little bit before we see Irv Smith fully integrated into the offense. It's a somewhat difficult offense to learn, but it's also, it's a tough position to learn. You know, rookie tight ends outside of someone like George Kittle, they don't tend to do all that well. So I think that primarily we're going to see a lot of 2 tight end sets, but that could feature David Morgan and Kyle Rudolph, or it could feature, you know, Tyler Conklin, last year's 5th-round pick, and Kyle Rudolph. So I think we're going to see a healthy mix of whichever that second tight end is. And then Rudolph is going to be kind of the keystone to those 2 tight end sets himself, at least in year 1. And I think that the way Irv Smith has been used in camp, I think that's pretty good indication that it might be just a little bit slower going to get him completely integrated.
A pretty high pick for the Vikings was Garrett Bradbury in the 1st round, and he's kind of had a unique journey from what I can read. He started as a tight end in college, then ended up as a Remington Trophy Award winner. What have you seen from him, the center, the new center for the Mighty Vikings?
You can see the athleticism that made him an interesting kind of tight end prospect in high school. You know, he's been able to get to the second level and create some open running lanes for Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. And just generally speaking, he's been a significant upgrade, both the run game and the pass game, over Pat Elflein, who was moved over to guard. So I think that, you know, I don't expect him to have, you know, the kind of year that you sometimes see out of first round centers, like, the one they have down in Dallas. But I think that you're going to see a pretty significant improvement in offensive line play overall. And I think a lot of that has to do with the acquisition of the center in the first round.
Arif Hasan joining us here on the Jason Greger Show, discussing the Minnesota Vikings as they head into the 2019 NFL season. He is our big guest of the day. On the defensive side of the ball, it's obviously a strength. They were one of the league's best last year. Just looking at all the position groups, defensive line, big names, linebackers, some big names, secondary, great players. If you had to pick a strength of this defensive unit, which group would it be?
I would have to say it's probably those defensive backs, that last group you named, because they tend to have a bigger impact on the game. And then also, you know, the growth that Trey Waynes has demonstrated, the fact that Harrison Smith remains kind of playing at a near all-pro level, the fact that Anthony Harris has stepped in and played at a really high level, and the fact that Xavier Rhodes continues to shadow these top wide receivers and forces them to have below-average games. You know, all of that combined, plus, you know, Mackenzie Alexander, the slot corner, he's improved pretty significantly too. I think that kind of is the engine that keeps that defense going, especially on first and second down. Obviously, all the parts to that defense have been pretty important. And like you said, they're all very talented and they all kind of contribute in their own unique ways. Now I think all three groups have depth problems. They've got some issues at cornerback with Holton Hill suspended. They've got some issues on the defensive line without a clear defensive tackle or defensive end to replace Everson Griffin. And then at linebacker, you know, we don't know what's going to happen if, you know, we see Anthony Barr, Eric Hendricks injured. So they all have depth issues. So we'll kind of see maybe over the course of the year what ends up being the biggest problem. But I think the strength is probably that secondary.
Head coach Mike Zimmer has been with the club since 2014. Since then, he's got a record of 47-32-1, and the club did extend their option on Zimmer to keep him through the 2020 season. But after the troubles last year, is there any chance he's on the hot seat?
I think there's a chance. I don't think that chance is above 50%. Obviously, it kind of depends on what happens this year. I think the reason the Vikings extended him, and they also extended general manager Rick Spielman by a year, is that they just don't like to have coaches and general managers in lame duck years. They want to kind of have them play for something contingent on the team. And so that year-long extension is more a signal that we're not firing you right now than it is a signal that they've maintained complete long-term confidence. But you're right. I mean, Zimmer is an above 500 coach, and he's dealt an unusually poor set of circumstances. He's had to have like four or five different starting quarterbacks and so on. So I think that the owners are going to be relatively lenient unless something big happens, and maybe they only win three games or something like that. They're going to be relatively lenient about evaluating Zimmer.
We are discussing the Minnesota Vikings with Arif Hasan of The Athletic. Just a couple quick ones for you. Tough division, of course, the Green Bay Packers, when they have Aaron Rodgers, are a tough team, and the Chicago Bears defense, quite scary. Where do you think the Vikings finish in the division this year?
You know, I think that there's a pretty good chance that the Vikings could end up being division winners. You know, it's like you said, it's a very tough division. It's very difficult to kind of figure these things out. I personally don't have a ton of confidence in Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. And I think, you know, losing your defensive coordinator like the Bears have, even acquiring a new talented one, I think losing one is always going to be kind of a big deal. And then with the Packers, you need to make sure that all those pieces work together. And we don't have confirmation that that's happening yet. So there's a lot of talent on a lot of those teams. It's difficult to say that one is definitely going to win. But if I'm going to pick one, I'd say it's the Vikings.
And final question for you. You've got to ask about the former Edmonton Eskimo wide receiver, Brandon Zylstra. How's he looked at camp, and do you expect him to hang around with the team?
I think he's got an inside shot to make the team, but it's certainly not a lock. You know, he's kind of moved up and down the depth chart. He had some injuries kind of earlier in training camp that maybe hurt his chances a little bit. You know, he was competing for that wide receiver 3 spot. And right now, I don't think he's got a great shot at being the third wide receiver, but also because the struggles of all of the other receivers at camp, especially the four rookies they brought in, he's got a really good shot to make the team again. And personally, I like what I've seen on, when he's been on the field and kind of what he's put out there. And I think that he's got kind of a more complete skill set than you see out of the other competitors at wide receiver three, like Chad Beebe or Jordan Taylor. And the Vikings could use that. But for right now, they're really kind of enamored with what he can do on special teams. So that seems to be the way that he's going to make the team.
Arif, appreciate the insight of the Vikings. That'll be a team to watch as we head into this season. Take care, and we'll catch up with you as the season rolls out.
Yeah, thanks for having me.